This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know. Hear from the experts, the authors, and others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, great start for the Kings, but the Rangers did not go down easy. You know that guy with the Google Glass? Yeah, he's definitely looking at something inappropriate. But now there's an app that'll run interference. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in the newsroom.
Phil, that bearded dad of the freed POW, you know he's raised some eyebrows with what some interpret as anti-American sentiments, but it may date back to the 80s. We'll have that.
Can't wait for that. Here he is, ready to knock down every news story in his way. It's Jay Campidonia.
Phil, TV makes money by getting ratings. Well, I'm going to tell you one network's plan to put you in front of the tube.
And I just lost a best of three in arm wrestling to Chris Martin.
What do you do when you're a stay-at-home parent, you're hanging out with your kids all day, and you just need a moment of peace? I'll tell you what most parents do coming up.
Wow, you said that just like a dad. That's all coming up. Let's get started. All right, Jennifer. Bo Bergdahl, of course, in the news, his dad. Mm-hmm. What is with that beard anyway?
Well, you know, he said it was in solidarity with his son. He wasn't going to shave until his son came home. But, you know, a lot of people just kind of think it's kind of hinky. You know, the whole speaking the language thing at the press conference. He's raised some eyebrows. Well,
we're keeping track, now, by the way. That's our first hinky on the program. We haven't had
is
one
it?
Yet. Yes. Officially, that's the first, isn't it? Yes, it is.
I was going to say, Phil, we've had a lot of hinky stories, but I think that's the first
We checked with the judges. It's officially the first hinky. I'm sorry, I interrupted. Back to you, Jen.
Okay, so Jay, this is how you know to treat this story. It's from a British tabloid reporting.
Oh, boy.
So you know, take it with a grain of salt. But it's reporting that freed POW Bo Bergdahl's dad was a champion cyclist who became disillusioned with America after the boycott of the 1980 Moscow Olympics over the war in Afghanistan destroyed his gold medal dreams. Yes, wow. Bergdahl, the father of POW Bo Bergdahl, was devastated when the U.S. pulled out of the games, citing Russia's invasion of Afghanistan. Remember then President Jimmy Carter issuing the ultimatum January 20th, 1980, that the U.S. would boycott the Moscow Olympics if Soviet troops didn't withdraw from Afghanistan. So he didn't get to go.
Oh,
and one of his peers on the cycling scene, by the way, was legendary racer Greg LeMond.
Oh, he's won the Tour de France a few times, didn't he?
Right, a couple times. And in fact, he was selected for the U.S. team in 1980, was also set to compete in Moscow. Instead of hanging his head and saying he'll never ride a bike again, like apparently Bob Bergdahl did, LeMond won the Tour de France three times. Meanwhile, Bob left California, settled in Haley, Idaho, where he became a UPS driver.
So wait a second. The beard is not because he's a Duck Dynasty fan.
I don't think that's even been in the you know, whole equation until now.
It's not on the radar. But Jay, it's thanks
true.
For putting that out there.
I am going to look into this, Phil, and I will report back.
Now, but Jennifer,
do you remember, though, the other day when we were talking about what kind of life Bo Bergdahl had in Idaho, and that he'd never had a car and he just rode his bike everywhere.
Right.
Oh,
apple doesn't
bike.
Fall far from the tree, remember?
Right. Now that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah,
don't disparage those English tabloids. Remember, all the newspapers out there are tabloids. So what are you going to do?
It's true.
These days,
it's
you
true.
Are correct.
All right. So we were talking about looking into things, and some mm-hmm. folks looked into some relatively old painting, and what did they find?
Well, this is funny. We've talked about a few beached whales in the past on this program, but if you think it never happened way back when, before global warming or whatever is making the whales beach themselves now, well, they had Photoshop back then, some old-timey photoshopping.
What?
It's not that it never happened.
What century are we talking about?
We're talking about the 16th century.
No, wait a
minute. So listen to this. When art conservators in the UK, again with the UK, Jay, so raise one eyebrow.
Wonderful.
He has two raised.
They were cleaning a 17th century Dutch seascape. They found a surprise, an image of a beached whale that had been hidden for at least 150 years.
What?
Until recently, the painting, which is called View of the Scheving... Yeah, I knew I was going to screw this one up.
Take
View
two.
of the Scheveningen Sands, created by Hendrik van Thonason.
That guy.
Or something.
Yeah, I know that guy.
World famous painter, apparently. Anyway, this guy painted this thing around 1641. It showed a bunch of people standing on a beach on The Hague in the Netherlands. And at the time the painting was created, though, there was a big surge of public interest in whales, noting the historical records document a number of whale strandings on the coastline of the Netherlands in the beginning of the 17th century. So when this thing was first painted, and I'm going to post it on our Facebook page because it's hysterically funny when you see it. It's this huge beached whale, this guy standing on it, and all these people standing around looking at it.
Well, sure. It's kind of like what was going down in San Diego when that whale, the dead whale carcass washed up on shore a couple weeks ago.
Exactly. Fast forward a few hundred years, they're trying to sell the painting. They're like, you know, that's kind of a dead whale's not so chic anymore. So they just paint it over it. And you see all these people standing around looking at the ocean.
Yeah, that's terrible. Just erase it.
It's a nice day at the beach.
Yeah.
So it's not altogether clear why someone decided the whale had to go. But the analysis of the paint suggests the alteration took place in the 18th or 19th century. So for a while, that whale, dead whale painting was big deal.
The world's first Photoshop. I love it.
Yeah.
I know. It's great. I'm going to post it now.
You know what else is great? Staying in shape, even when you're a busy executive.
Oh, have you seen this video or these pictures of Obama in Poland working out at the Marriott gym?
I have. And
it's definitely not gold.
It's a little awkward.
Yeah. I haven't
it
seen
is
it.
It is awkward.
Yet.
Well, here's the thing. And Chris, you can be our expert here. When you see the video, clearly he knows what he's doing. He's doing those kind of moves that, you know, incorporate motion and weights and all that. So he's not like pumping iron to get all big and beefy. He's doing that whole fitness thing, which, you know, most of us do, but it doesn't look particularly graceful. In fact,
it was a little like the first pitch in the mom jeans. Is that what it was?
No.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. But it did raise a few questions as to who's shooting pictures of the president in the gym working out and who are all these people standing around? And doesn't the Secret Service have a role in kind of preventing this type of thing from happening? Because the conventional wisdom would be if you can point a camera at the president and take his picture, you could also point a gun. Well,
I suppose. Yeah. But nobody's getting hurt.
Right. Nobody's getting hurt. And Secret Service says this is not a security breach, that people are allowed to have cameras and people are allowed to take pictures and it's their prerogative. It's, you know,
do you have
freedom.
That video? Can you post that for us, too?
I will post the video as well.
Look at you. You are so busy. I like that.
I am really busy.
All right. You know who else is busy? Lifetime Channel, Jay.
Born in the wild, Phil. Born in the wild. Remember.
This is a bad idea.
Born in the Wild is the name of a new television show that is going to air on the Lifetime channel. It's a new reality show. I'm going to say it one more time. Born in the Wild.
What exactly is happening on Born in the Wild?
It's basically started from this woman's video that she posted on YouTube that has gone completely viral. Since February, it's amassed more than 20 million views. And it's basically her giving birth. Okay, hold on. Hold it. Stay there. I saw your face.
Hold on. Yeah.
It's her giving birth by the side of a creek.
In the wild.
No doctors, just family members there to, like, cheer her on, I guess.
Jennifer, will you be posting this on the Facebook page?
I'm going to look for it right now.
Please do not. So the new show, Born in the Wild, is basically going to take second-time mothers. Producers say first-time mothers are not allowed to participate in the show. They're going to take second, third, fourth-time mothers and bring them into whatever serene place they want to go, and they're going to let them pop out a child.
And we'll be watching that on Lifetime.
And we will be watching this on Lifetime. I mean, if a YouTube video gets 20 million hits, that's going to get the attention of television executives.
You know, it may just be like three creepy guys watching it, you know, like
that possibly,
8 million times each.
That possibly could be the issue here. Here's the kind of the caveat. Critics say that because there's no medical help, something seriously could go wrong in the filming of this show. But the producers say, well, you know, there's not going to be medical staff on hand, but there is going to be some midwives and whatever else there to help. Critics also say they're afraid that this might start a new trend of people popping out kids all over the forest.
Think of all the healthcare money it'll save.
Does it say the extent of what they're going to show on film?
Well, apparently everything except from the spread eagle shot, if you will.
All right. Okay. Well, see, you asked and you got the answer.
There you yes. go.
You asked the question everybody was thinking.
Right.
Just, you were
yeah,
here.
How
to,
what are you going to see?
Yeah. No, I, for one, will not be watching. I protest.
I don't think I'll be watching either.
Okay, good.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. Let's just end the show now. What do you say?
Yeah.
No, there's more.
Good night, everybody.
The Kings took game one of the Stanley Cup final in overtime, but really it could have gone either way. We'll look ahead to game two with a local hockey writer next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. It's Thursday, and it is the day after Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final between the Kings and the Rangers. Kings took the first one in overtime. It was another thrilling overtime winner that did the trick for Los Angeles. Game two is Saturday night at Staples. And let's get some perspective. Joining us live, Los Angeles Times sports writer Lance Pugmire. Lance, nice to talk to you. See you covering the Ducks all the time, and you cover so many different sports. And the end of the hockey season is just a great time. And that overtime hockey, last night, I think it was the kind of overtime fans come to expect. At least this is the way I see it. One team makes a fatal mistake and the other drives the dagger home. Describe the game from your perspective for us.
Yeah, I think that a lot of us expected the overtime to end pretty quickly after the Kings outshot the Rangers 20-3 on the goal in the third period. I mean, they definitely were having their way, imposing their will on this game after it sort of escaped them in the first period. And for the Kings, like you said, that they've now overcome three two-goal deficits three times in the last seven games and in back-to-back games, counting Game 7 in Chicago.
See, now here's the thing. We have to understand that the majority of people following the Stanley Cup Final are calling it the finals, and they are bandwagon hockey fans. And so to the untrained eye, people might say last night was a pretty even game for the most part. But sometimes things happen that bring up the strengths of each team in last night's game. And so I'm going to start backwards here. Start with, and we're talking strengths, start with Henrik Lundqvist in the third period.
Obviously, I mean, this was a guy that the Kings threw everything but the kitchen sink at. I mean, like I said, 20 shots on goal. And he really showed, you know, the ability that he had that has carried this Rangers team all the way through their unexpected run through the Eastern Conference, you know, beating the likes of the Philadelphia Flyers, Pittsburgh Penguins, and then the Montreal Canadiens in a very emotional series to send them to the finals here. And, you know, this is a guy that he's very acrobatic. In all, last night he had 40 saves. And the Kings definitely have a tough goalie to contend with. I know that they feel very comfortable with Jonathan Quick in their own net, but he's a tough customer, as he proved.
And to go further backwards now, we go to the first period, and the speed of the Rangers was clearly evident there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think that that was the thing. A lot of people believe that the Rangers looked at Game 1 as the game that they were going to strike for. They really wanted that game because here's the Kings only a couple days removed from a very intense grind of a series against the Chicago Blackhawks, went all seven games, final game going to overtime, just a tough war, no doubt about it. And the Rangers had 5 days off before this game. So they came out striking. I mean, they had a couple breakaways that set up goals, and You know, they were getting turnovers, and the Kings looked tired. They looked fatigued. They looked like they were dealing with all of that, the repercussions of that Chicago series. But at the end of the day, you know, the Kings righted themselves.
Yeah, you never know it. When you came out in overtime, I was just telling Phil before the show, it's like this half tank, all of a sudden they were energized. And it seems to be the story with the case. They come back when they're down a goal or when they're down a game or two. Like, can you talk to that a little bit? Like, is that their strategy?
Well, here's the thing. I think that while a lot of teams talk the talk that they know what it takes to win a game, and even though that they may, you know, be behind the eight ball, so to speak, they can rally back. I mean, the Kings have absolutely proven this over and over again. And, that, you know, the heart of this team, it starts with Jonathan Quick. It includes the defenseman Drew Doughty, who's been sensational this entire playoff series. You got, you know, Mr. Game 7, Justin Williams, who is so calm and poised under pressure. And then, you know, some veteran guys who have been a part of great comebacks throughout, you know, playoff history, guys like Jeff Carter. It's just this team has an incredible will to not lose a game. And no matter what they're up against, whether it's down 3-0 in the San Jose series or down very late in the opener against the Ducks and finding a way to win that game, or being down against the defending Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks in Game 7 with less than 8 minutes left in the game.
Yep.
They refuse to lose. And it's, I think, for Southland sports fans, you know, it's worth tuning in and giving this team a watch, because these guys do talk the talk.
Yeah, they are a special team. But just the same, ultimately, neither team got this far without being able to learn from the previous game and adjust to the other team. We saw a fair amount of adjustment during last night's game. And there were some chunks of the game where neither team seemed to dominate. So looking ahead to Game 2, Saturday at Staples, what kind of a Rangers team do you think you're going to see?
Well, I think I just got done spending the morning with the Rangers and Coach Alain Vigneault. And, you know, what they talked about is that, you know, the things that they did the best were showing their speed. There were several times where they got breakaways on the Kings and put good shots on Jonathan Quick. They feel like they can't press it. They can't obsess on that issue. But what they can do is definitely look to speed as their way to win this game. And I think that that's what's going to be at play in Game 2, that the Rangers are going to, again, try to just outrace the Kings to the goal and see if the Kings can keep up. I mean, the Kings always want to rely on their physicality and their smarts and controlling the puck and just doing the wise things around the net.
Yep.
But
and converting on opportunities, that's the key in the postseason,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, we love reading you in the Los Angeles Times, and we'll look for your coverage leading into Game 2 and after Game 2 as well, and we thank you for spending some time with us here. Lance Pugmire, thank you very much.
Thank you, anytime.
All right.
Go Kings.
He said anytime. You want to get Lance back on the phone? I'm being
You're
silly.
Listening to Hockey Talk.
Yes, I know.
That is a
easy.
Shot across
Take
the bow.
Take it easy over
but
there.
But you know what? I got a little hockey quiz when I got home after we had that primer yesterday. My
yes.
husband from Minnesota quizzed me, and I was shocked at how little I know about hockey.
Yes. Well,
they play with a puck.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I
know
that.
I'd love to watch it, but I have no idea what's going on.
And they score goals, Jen. They don't hit home runs. We know that, right?
they get points or goals or runs or touchdowns.
They get something.
Something, yeah. 1 point for each goal, right?
Here we go.
That's right.
Here we go.
The ratings were huge, so NBC won the night by far.
Sometimes I just want to get away, Chris.
Yeah.
I really do.
Why?
You know? Well, you know, when the kids are yelling all day long, and there's no place to go, there's no woodshed, there's nothing. Where in my palatial suburban estate, what am I going to do?
What are you going to do? You're going to hide. You're going to find a place to escape. You're not alone, by the way. Over 60% of parents say they feel a need to escape when they're spending the entire day with their children, according to this new survey. And there's an average time when they all escape. It's 3:53 p.m. in the afternoon. So
that's about, the melting point.
Yeah, exactly right. That's when they've had enough. They all get away for an average of about 15 minutes, and over 60% of them find their escape place, the bathroom.
No, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do they do in there? Bathroom stuff?
They lock the door and, you know, probably sit on the toilet with the lid closed with their hands in their hands and take deep breaths.
Hands in their hands? Yeah.
Their head in their hands. Yeah.
All right.
Take deep breaths. You know, some other options you can do is get them hooked on video games or stick them in front of video Disney movies. That'll keep the kids.
But then you hide in the bathroom. But you have your magazines in there and you get out the smartphone and you just chill for a while.
Break out the tablet.
Well, it's got a lock on the door. A lot of people don't have locks on like their bedroom doors.
Put the lock.
But there's always a lock in the on the bathroom.
Put on the fan so that they, you know, you can't hear anything outside.
Run the water, like
Calgon, take me away.
Yeah. Turn on the shower.
Turn off the lights. Light some incense.
This is why I want to put a television in my bathroom.
Really?
Heck yeah!
You don't have one in there yet?
You'll never come out.
Jen's got one.
You do?
I do. I got a flat screen right over my tub.
See, I want that and a hot plate and a cooler, and I'm good to go.
And I don't have kids. I have the perfect solution.
What are you hiding from?
I think your husband needs to take notes then.
Your hockey-loving husband. All those hockey things he talks about. Got to get away. All right. Well, we don't want you to get away for a moment because there's so much more coming up on this program. In fact, does it creep you out to think that some dude wearing Google Glass, you know what those are, those computer glasses, does it creep you out to know that some guy wearing those is approaching you and you don't know what he's looking at when he's looking at you? Right? Think about that for a second. Well, we have an app for you and a whole lot more tech to talk about in our next segment right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980. We're here every weekday afternoon at 2, As We See It, with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980. Thanks for tuning in. Phil Hewlett, Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Capadonia, Chris Martin. And I'll ask you again, does it creep you out, this guy that's wearing the Google Glass, right? This is just one of the stories as we catch up on the big tech stories this week. And joining us live is our tech guy, Jeremy Antacuni. Jeremy, hello. We're going to get to that Google Glass story in a second, but there's a story about Netflix. Is that company having trouble taking responsibility? Is it playing nice in the sandbox?
You know, I don't think that Netflix is the one that's not playing nice. We've been talking about net neutrality quite a bit over the last couple of months as the FCC has been dealing with how to handle net neutrality, you know, dealing with this, you know, internet slow lane that everybody is talking about. And so what Netflix has been doing to solve this problem until there are some regulations in place to, you know, kind of, you know, govern how this is handled, what they've had to do is go to the internet service providers and start paying them to then give their content priority delivery. So we've seen this with Comcast, and in April, Netflix put together an agreement with Verizon to pretty much do the same thing. But the problem is that they're not seeing the improvement that they were expecting. So when they started paying Comcast to deliver their content faster, their customers were seeing an increase of something like 50% of speed. But Verizon, it's a very, very small incremental increase. And so what we're seeing is that Netflix has decided to put up on the loading screen when you start a movie or a TV show, if there is some network congestion, they've actually put up a message indicating where that slowdown is occurring. So if you're a Verizon customer and you are streaming your Netflix and it's going slow, it actually says, hey, the Verizon network is running slow, so you may not be getting a very good performance. And as you can imagine, Verizon's not so happy about this. So they've sent them a cease and desist and are telling them they need to, you know, stop doing that. But I think that it's interesting for them to call out the ISPs that are, you know, causing this problem and, you know, essentially trying to get people aware that, you know, these net neutrality issues exist and we definitely need to address them before it is too late with the FCC. Yeah.
Well, I'll figure it out sooner or later. Now to this story we've been teasing a lot. I think a lot of people are still a little creeped out by, you know, that whole Google Glass thing, right? I mean, what's that guy really looking at? Is he looking at me or internet porn or something else?
You know, I've seen it a lot of times. You know, when somebody is wearing Google Glass and they come into a room, people's react to it. So, you know, their body language changes, you know, the way that they respond to questions, and you can just feel that there's a difference. And so a Berlin-based artist has come up with something I think is a pretty cool approach. He's created a script that you can put on your wireless network so that when somebody that is wearing Google Glass shows up, they just get repeatedly booted off your Wi-Fi network.
So, great.
It's awesome. So, you know, there's just no chance of them being able to, you know, do the live streaming. And then, of course, they're going to be taking it off and fumbling with it and trying to figure out why it appears to be broken.
Yeah, and their contribution to the meeting will be nullified. Sure. That's what you get.
If you're interested in learning more about this, it's called Glasshole is the script, and of course Glasshole's goal is to prevent those guys from being glassholes.
Okay, very good. Now, is Amazon getting into the smartphone biz?
So that's the rumor. It's been talked about for quite some time. They obviously over the last couple of years have been doing a lot of things with hardware, with their tablets and so forth. They came out with a streaming box recently, and of course one of the next progressions would be a smartphone. And so they posted a teaser video earlier this month, which is showing people looking at some device that, of course, is not visible. So it's a tease, and they're trying to show people's reactions to this revolutionary device. But to be honest with you, the functionality or the winning feature of this device is supposed to be the fact that it supports 3D. I think it sounds a little gimmicky. I mean,
3D, like as in you can look at your phone and something's coming out, like.
Yeah. So the idea is that it's going to be a 3D display on a smartphone, and clearly they haven't been paying attention to the 3D TV market over the last couple of years, because I just don't see this being a killer feature. It sounds gimmicky to me, and if I was them, I wouldn't be betting my first smartphone on a technology that I don't think is really going to see widespread adoption.
Yeah. All right. Hey, is there a sequel to the Heartbleed?
Yeah. So back in April, we talked to you about Heartbleed, which was a vulnerability. It's probably the most severe vulnerability that's ever hit the internet, which allowed hackers to essentially read the contents of the memory of a web server, which gave access to to passwords, to certificates, which secure the connection, all kinds of information that should never have been visible. There is a new vulnerability that is in the same vein. It's in something called OpenID and OAuth. And so these are things that allow you to authenticate your username and password, for example, to Facebook or to Amazon or any of the other services out there that have usernames and passwords. And so this is a vulnerability in OAuth. And so while it is a kind of a scary vulnerability because you essentially could be hijacking people's credentials, this one is not nearly as bad as Heartbleed, but still it's something that is definitely something that is a concern for those network administrators and the folks that are running the web servers. They're going to need to get it updated. It's more difficult to accomplish. Heartbleed was very, very easy to take advantage of, and so we saw it as just a huge hole. This one's a little more difficult, but certainly, we're going to see lots and lots of these types of vulnerabilities, and of course, it's a game of cat and mouse where the vulnerabilities are discovered, you get them fixed, and then those guys are out there looking for more problems.
Jeremy Anticone, always great to talk to you from the 3D cone of tech.
And we'll
talk,
guys.
We'll talk to you again next week. All right, there he goes. He's our tech guy. Hey, I have some random facts for your Thursday.
All right.
If you live to be 100 years old, statistics say you'll probably die from pneumonia. Just so you know.
Okay.
Mark Hamill, you know who that is, right? Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Has done the voice for the Joker in every single Batman video game since 1992.
Awesome.
Really?
Yeah. I love this story. Flamin' Hot Cheetos were invented by a janitor named Richard Montanez at Frito-Lay's Rancho Cucamonga plant.
You know, the girlfriend cannot get enough of those.
The Flamin' Hot Cheetos are great.
They're the best.
Yeah.
So good.
And
because once you start eating them, you can't stop. You have to just keep going.
Just remember
that's her excuse, too. Trust
remember
me.
To wash your hands before you rub your eyes.
Yeah.
Oh.
But anyway, since Richard, the janitor, invented the Flamin' Hot Cheetos, he's worked his way up the food chain, and now he's running PepsiCo's Multicultural Sales and Community Promotions Division.
Right. Look at that.
He's a fat cat now. Jackie Chan, you know who that guy is? Right? He does his own stunts, all the kung fu movies.
He's the guy with Chris Tucker. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
That's Rush Hour.
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
He's a classically trained opera singer and has released more than 20 albums.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard any of them.
The International Space Station is the most expensive thing that's ever been built. A guess? Want to guess how much it's cost? This puts you into perspective what it's going to cost to explore space and to colonize space.
I'll take a good guess here. How's $100?
More than the Clippers?
More than the Clippers. But we can use Clipper math to extrapolate the actual number. Actually, the estimated cost is $150 billion to build the space station. And that's room for six? Room for seven? Something like that?
That's an expensive minivan.
Yeah, it certainly is. I think it's a Winnebago. Pretty sure. Hey,
Holy moly.
Whatever happened to ordering pizza as a prank? Wait until you hear what this guy did to get back at somebody, and you're going to hear it next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980. And we want to direct you to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends, because, hey, and thank you, Jennifer, for posting the picture of the painting where side by side you could see it with the beached whale and then without the beached whale.
Isn't that great? It's not subtle either.
No, it's not. And that's some
it's like the whole painting.
That's some whale. It's the size of the entire city. And then the President Obama workout.
Yeah.
Which I think everybody's going to probably start making their own videos off of that. You know, people do copycat videos.
Oh,
all the
it'll
time.
Be a Saturday Night Live sketch.
I
soon.
Think so. It will be.
Well, what I love are the fitness experts who are weighing in on his form and technique and all that.
Oh, barf.
Yeah, there's the grimace though. Well, he clearly has sore knees because every time he does the lunge, he's got the grimace on his face. You got
to
see that.
It's from groveling to the American public. What?
What?
Who said what? What
did win? Not a political
I'm
show.
I'm so sorry.
It's a show about hockey, Jay.
No, it's not.
Come
it
on,
is
give
not.
Us a program.
And so. Jay's going to prove it right now because we were talking about pranks, and the whole Craigslist environment has raised the ante, hasn't it?
They really have. And everyone has been ticked at a neighbor or two at a time or two. Every time that you walk outside, you do the obligatory, hey, how are you? Hi, how's it going? Oh, nice weather we're having here, huh? Just shut up, get in your car. But people at some point really have a problem with the guy's got a lawnmower that's too loud, or the guy plays music too long, or whatever it may be. Well, one guy is having some problem with his neighbors. Well, so apparently one of his neighbors put a fake Craigslist ad online saying that, hey, I've got tons of free stuff. First come, first serve. Stop by my home in Pomona. Dozens of people started showing up to this guy's house, ringing his doorbell. Hey, I'm here for the free stuff.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff do you got?
Free stuff.
Free stuff, man? I'm like, here? Guy says dozens. So can you imagine 30 or so people, you know, showing up to your house? Evidently, he filed a police complaint, but, you know, anybody can post anything on Craigslist. So be wary.
Right. Exactly.
But I'll tell you, if you really want to get back at your neighbors, this one guy.
What's that?
Painted his home like the American flag.
That's got to be right in line with the city building code.
He is fighting his HOA, and actually neighbors are kind of rallying around him, except the one neighbor who says it's destroying the scenery of our HOA. I pay money for the HOA.
What's the HOA again?
The Homeowners Association,
oh,
sir.
Oh, okay.
Better than the Confederate flag, I guess.
That's very true.
Yeah. That. Wow.
It's a good point.
It is. Right? All right. But you know what, Chris, you may have found the story of the day.
You think so?
Well, we'll decide on how you deliver it here. Good luck.
Thank you. I'm going to need it.
Talk right into that microphone, will you?
Well, here's the story, Phil. For most guys who order a penis enlargement kit over the internet, if they received that package and they found out that it was a fraud, yeah, they probably wouldn't say anything about it. They don't want to get their name out there. They don't even want the company to know who they are.
Right. You're probably right.
But not this guy. There's a guy in Malaysia. He's been identified only as Ong.
Ong?
And he's on a quest for vengeance.
Uh-oh.
Wait, yeah. So Ong wanted to order something to increase his...
manhood.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. I was going to go with a rhyme, but okay.
Right.
Go ahead, Chris, before you get in trouble.
Now, Ong spent about $170 to order a manhood enlargement kit.
I like the way you put that. Go ahead.
And when he got it, it turned out to be a scam. He opened the box, and what was inside? A magnifying glass.
Oh.
Get it?
Well, that's phenomenal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Hey, it even came with instructions. It said, do not use in sunlight.
Oh. So either way, he got burned.
Either way. So he went to the Customer Complaints Bureau to tell him about the scam. The Bureau told him they're investigating it, but it's probably going to be pretty tough to track down who ripped him off.
Yeah. All right. Pretty sure that was the best story of the day.
Poor guy.
Would have been.
Pretty sure. Would have been? Oh, had you gone.
I'm just kidding,
had
Chris.
You gone beyond the boundaries of appropriate radio.
I think
radio.
He was ribbing at me.
Okay. We lie on a daily basis, don't we?
No.
Never.
Well, not necessarily big lies. I think a lot of us, we just, as a rule, we tell little white lies so we don't hurt people's feelings. Right? And so Reddit did a little survey, and it just asked people, what lie do you tell most often? And here are the 8 most popular answers. I'll start with number 8. I'll let you know if I can make it. I think I might already have something that night.
Oh, that's a good one.
Rather than coming out and saying, no, I wouldn't be caught dead in public with you. Thank you. But no. Number 7 is, this meal was delicious.
Aw, that's sad.
Yeah, well, what else are you going to say? You know, I'm still picking that stuff out of my teeth. And,
yeah.
You know.
You know, I had Alpo one time, and it tastes better than that.
No, you wouldn't
so
say that,
good.
See? So you tell the little white lie. Another one, I'm on my way.
Oh, that's good.
Right, you just remember, oh, I forgot to go. I better, okay, I'm on my way.
Or you're like just getting in the shower.
Yeah.
Be there in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
How about this one? I'm fine. See, that works whether you're happy, you're sad, or anything in between. I'm fine.
It's the worst.
It depends on how you say it, though.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, women have the lock on this. It's, no, I'm fine.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
God, that sends shivers down men's
right.
backs.
And then you have to go into the 40 questions, right? All right, what is
right.
it? You mad at me?
Right.
What did I say?
Yeah.
What did I do?
But you can't do it like that, Phil.
Did I miss your birthday?
Or you have to say, I'm fine.
That's even worse. You can't do it. Okay, what's wrong? Because if you do that, her head explodes. You know, you have to go, oh, well, okay, well, all right, honey, you want to talk about anything? You got to be, like, enthusiastic. I'm learning this now.
Yeah, are you?
I am learning this.
Wow. Relationship tips with Jay.
Yeah, don't ever sigh and then answer a question. Trust me.
Here's another white lie. Number 4, whatever your height is, you add an inch, at least.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Ong was trying to do.
Number 3.
Good one, Chris.
Thanks for paying attention, Chris. At number 3, I don't care what people think of me. And
that
I don't care how many times you say that. The truth is that you do care what people think ultimately. Number 2, sorry, I don't have any change on me.
That's sad.
What's your favorite off ramp where you say that?
Well, who does have change on them?
Not me
anymore.
I don't have change.
I don't either.
Yeah, I'm a plastic guy.
And here's the biggest lie of all. This one may not be even a white lie. My phone was on silent, so I didn't know you called.
Ooh.
Some people say they didn't see your text. How do you not see somebody's text when you're texting all day?
I'm so busy texting everyone else, yours just flew right by me.
Yeah. Now, this could hurt relationships.
It can.
But what can we do to make sure that relationships always stay on an even keel, Jay, since you're the relationship master all of a sudden?
I am. I am the relationship zen. That is who I am. I came across this blog, and it actually kind of made me smile a little bit. From the Huffington Post, she wrote about one of those days where you come home and the boss is on you, traffic was bad, and you walk in, you're kind of disheveled, and you're just like, ugh, today just sucks. So the husband tried to lighten the mood and threw a quick little joke out there. Unfortunately, he kind of took a little jab at her.
Uh-oh.
But he did it. But he did it in a jovial way. It's just kind of like one of those, hey, bad day, huh? Nice joke there, buddy.
Yeah, that happens all the time with you, right, Jen?
Yeah.
Right.
She initially didn't think that it was such a funny joke, and she snapped back at him. Well, in order to try and turn the tides again, the guy went with another joke. And instead of getting upset, she said to herself, she looked at her husband in the eyes and said, all he's trying to do is help. So she laughed. And that spawned a conversation between the two. She finally was able to vent and get all of the, you know, yuckies from the day off of her shoulders. And her husband just sat there and they laughed and laughed and laughed and had a great time. They ended up having dinner, blah, blah, blah. The point of the story is she laughed. Don't take everything so seriously. And when you walk through the door and that other person on the other side of the door is the person that you married, the person that you love, make sure that you don't take everything so seriously. Don't be afraid to have a good time and laugh. It just may save your marriage.
This is a side of Jay that we rarely get to see.
I know.
You're making so much sense.
Yeah. You are. What's up with that?
Hey, I want to give you...
You know what? Just because you're having a good day and you're laughing doesn't mean that I did, honey.
Yeah.
That's my answer to that.
Yeah.
You better tell a good joke if you want me to laugh.
So three guys walk into a bar, you know?
Yeah, no. There you go.
Not that kind of a joke.
Okay, not that joke. All right.
I want to look ahead to tomorrow's program and something special. Tomorrow is the 70th anniversary of the Normandy invasion in D-Day, World War II. And you will hear something on KFWB tomorrow that you will not hear anywhere else. In fact, it originated on KFWB 70 years ago. It's a recording of KFWB's ongoing coverage of the D-Day invasion. Again, from 70 years ago, and it's never been played publicly since then. Wow. And you're going to hear it here on the program, and we can't wait for that. It's a special moment tomorrow. And we love your comments. Where our email address is feedback@philhewlettandfriends. On Twitter, we're @AsWeSeeItShow. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, associate producer, Nick Wright. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.